The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, September 4th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And this is C.A. Nuri, who is joined by Aaron Green, who's my distant cousin, right? And we're talking food and beverage. We're talking
50th anniversary of the establishment of the Bahamas Hotel Training College. Mm-hmm. We have representatives from the inaugural class in studio, Mr. Brendan Folks, who is a part of the Tourism Management Diploma Program, had to leave us. The gentlemen remaining in studio today are two of our world premier chefs. And so for this hour, we're going to talk a bit about their personal experience.
Their personal experience.
Post the program.
But before all that, I want to go over again the events that's happening. Let's start off with that, so make sure that's out in the open. Anyone who is a part of the program for the 50 years can call in, because I know that they want everybody to come and participate in the various events. So let's start off by announcing what all is happening, and then we'll continue our conversation, and then let Aaron lead that again.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just want to know, who tell the people they could take time out the stool thing? It just they acting like somebody deputized them and tell them they could take time out to stew fish.
You know, you don't have to put the whole time inside the stew fish anymore.
Listen, you could put it in a sachet and cook it and then take it out, but I could taste it. Taste it and I could not taste it.
You can't taste the time anymore.
They're telling you,
I
can't taste it.
We can talk about that too. We can talk about that too. But let's go back. Let's down the events.
Okay. Good morning again. Week of activities started. We'll be starting this Sunday with a church service at Bible Truth Ministries. It's Martin Clothes off camp off Calvin Road, which is pastored by Pastor Ellison Greenslade and his lovely wife. That'll be followed by a courtesy call on the Governor General this week, preferably Wednesday. But also, we have also asked the Prime Minister to declare by way of proclamation the week of September 9th. That's actually the week when the college first opened in 1974 as Hotel Training College Alumni Week. Mm-hmm. We also will be having like school visitations. Like many of us who went to Satan School, we're going to pay them a visit to actually talk to the culinary students. Coming up later in the month, we're going to have a panel discussion at IUB with all of the schools, the government schools who are actually doing the
culinary program.
The culinary program on the culinary on our career, also how to become a professional chef or to become a professional in this industry. Mm-hmm. Also, we'll be having a great initiative. The 19th of October is World
International
Chef Day. Mm-hmm. But that falls on a Sunday. Sometime close to the 19th, we'll be actually taking over the Great Commission Kitchen, whereby we'll be feeding the president there for the Great Commission. We also did. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so listen, for the 51st anniversary, right?
Yes.
The proclamation should also declare that week like Local Food Week.
Yes.
Right, and so y'all, the alumni class, all of the classes should reach out to the hotels established in the Bahamas.
Yes.
And the major restaurants. And say, for that week, we are asking you to feature, if not a whole menu, at least one local item and maybe its variations.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So I think, because my belly had that idea. I just say it.
On the other side of the show, when Aaron Green hosted it on the clock, we were mentioning, you mentioned behemonization was a big thing. This is why the hotel training college was established, behemonization.
Yes.
And I want to know the difference between apprenticeship and earning a degree in culinary.
Yes.
And has behemonization worked in terms of infusing Bahamian foods in these major hotels?
You want to start with me?
Yeah.
to the point about infusing Bahamian food, I can recall I was executive chef on a number of properties here in Nassau, Radisson, Crystal Palace, Le Meridian Royal Bahamian. And during my time as executive chef, there was a specific day that we had. We call it a Bahamian night, okay, where we featured all Bahamian item food on the buffet. We had specialty nights where we featured a Bahamian dish, all right? And nowadays, we are what we're doing in order to keep that flair, that Bahamian flair going, we have created a number of dishes with the infusion of Bahamian product, all right? We have the culinary team that went to Taste of the Caribbean and the Culinary Olympics, and they did a fantastic job. And
they're like the swimmers, right? They're like the aquatics teams. They're champions wherever they go.
Yes, yes, yes. And so they, and taking the taste of the Bahamas around the world.
And infusing it into a global palate.
Yes.
Like, for instance, BANROB, the Bahamas Network of Rural Women Producers, right? Many older women who would have worked with or who know members, alumni from the Bahamas Hotel Training College. Yeah. We fed the guests at our, like courtesy call at the Governor General. Mm-hmm. We had a luncheon. We fed them pork, tamarind glaze, local tamarind, instead of an apple sauce, the pork chop and apple sauce.
Yes. Right.
We had a juju sauce and a local tamarind glaze on the pork.
And that's where you find these Bahamian products, the berries, the fruits. We incorporating them, we infusing them into dishes. So make it more interesting and also give it that sort of international flair, all right? And still having that that taste of the Bahamas. There.
Okay. I'm sticking
Again, Mr. New was asking about Bahamian food and hotels or the menu. The problem we have today is most of the chefs here or the food and beverage director, they're from foreign. Most menus are dictated by the chef, wherever they came from, and also the managers. So obviously you need a Bahamian to head the restaurant and also to inject the Bahamian product into the menu as far as Bahamian food.
See, that says every major resort, like you have so many rooms, you need to have a small farm where you could grow basic local ingredients to ensure that they are available for menu preparation.
That's a great question, because I always had this dream. I believe that every hotel should have a seawater tank, like a fish tank. They should have fresh live fish from our water that the guests are able to come, choose the fish from the tank they want. The bartender, whoever, fish of the tank, send to the kitchen, prepare it, and bring it back. That was always my vision.
And if I could catch it myself, I could have it for free, right? I mean, we're talking about experience. You'd be surprised how many people would enjoy that.
Yes.
You mentioned about a garden, and that was when I, in 2010, when I created and opened the Sapodilla restaurant, that was my aim and my goal. And we had a garden there that used to produce all of our fresh herbs, all of our lettuce and things and vegetables. And we incorporate them into our dishes. And I used to really show off my garden, you know. When we have guests come in there, tourists, we take them in the garden so we see exactly
what you eating?
Yes.
Tourism is expanding. In the next 5 to 10 years, we'll have more hotels and restaurants opening, right? There's going to be a boom, more than what it is now. There's a shortage of chefs, experienced, talented Bahamians. I know when you were back in school, you had an apprenticeship program. I don't think there's an apprenticeship program now. Either you go to the culinary school or you go onto the job and learn there. In order to meet the demand, what do you recommend officials do to make sure we have enough culinary support for these restaurants we're going to open up and these hotels would have these restaurants.
And then eventually for the cruise ships that are going to stay in port overnight and have to take on Bahamian chefs for that time to cook Bahamian food?
Aaron mentioned something about policy. I believe, in fact, many of us believe that it is the policy of all of our government that whenever these new investors come in, I remember Perry Christie years ago used to like talk about Anchor Project, right? Mm-hmm. But there was nothing they were mentioned about chefs or behemoth and management position. They would say jobs. It should be mandatory that each hotel that comes in take on so many trainees to be or apprentices to be trained. Because apprentices work both ways. You need a college to do the theory side of the work, and also you need on-job experience. Both of them comes hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So obviously the government also needs sooner than later to open up another culinary institute and hospitality institute in general to teach chefs, managers, front desk person, guest service, the whole gamut of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
That is needed immediately.
I think where we fell down the industry at one point, the apprenticeship program was dropped.
Yep.
If you can recall, during the time of Bahamas Hotel Training College, every 2 years the institution was spitting out a group of students.
Yes.
Right? And as fast as they spit them out, we have another group that's following. And so there needs to be a recreation of this of this apprenticeship, formal apprenticeship program.
Not only that, also when hotels bring in expatriates to work, there still need to be understudy, and there needs to be a progress report every 3 months, you know? What is this guy teaching you? You know what I mean? If they want to go on teaching, are you learning anything? You know? Not just come here, enjoy the fruit of the land, and there's no training. But many cases, Mr. Nui asked a question earlier. You would have a chef come maybe from Italy, right? He may work in a maybe a Bible-style restaurant, but his certificate is written in Italian. So over here, a person don't know what that means. As far as they're concerned, he might be a gourmet chef. But basically, the guy, when he actually cook chicken and fries, and they bring him in, obviously, for many Bahamians to train, you know? And we find that in, you know, in many cases, you know? So there need to also be a group that can actually evaluate the chef to see their competency level.
Mm-hmm.
And persons like us who are senior chef, we need to form that group. And the government obviously needs to acknowledge us.
Mm-hmm. So why y'all don't form an association? Form a non-governmental, non-profit
association?
Absolutely. We are not preserving tradition. And because we're not preserving tradition, our palate is not evolving. It just expanding wherever, right? Just doing whatever. Mm-hmm. It can change. It can evolve. But it needs to be bounded, right, by a historical root.
Yes.
I'm one who promotes the need to write and to record. Mm-hmm. Any of your...
Any books, any journals?
In the future. You're retired now. You're a senior man. You're retired now. You have time to write down either recipes or write down the history of the Bahamas Hotel Training College, listen to all these names, or write down your experience of working in these restaurants, the pros, the cons, the challenges, what you overcome, as for a legacy for us new Bahamian chefs.
Because in the same way, there's going to be a Junkanoo conference in Canada and no Bahamians were invited, it's the same way that we are the leaders in tourism, at least in this hemisphere, but we don't have a dedicated tertiary level institutions standalone, like you say, to ensure that our inventory of human resource is available. We don't have a museum, right? We don't have a guild of tourism. We don't have a journal, a review that comes out periodically, documenting the advancement and evolution of tourism. It's like tourism is our number one business, but somebody else is supposed to take care of it.
What's a gentleman who has his own museum?
Perhaps. Oh, Mr. Greg Umbrister on Market Street. Mr. Greg Umbrister on Market Street has his own museum. Okay.
The one with the hotel.
Vernal Sands.
Surely there should be one for culinary.
Yeah. Well, both Chef Johnson and I have intention of actually writing our memoirs. And
we just didn't start.
Yes.
And we need an authentic, right? for Bahamian recipes, authentic recipes. There's so many different variations of Johnny cake. Mm-hmm. There's so many different variations of peas and rice. There's so many different variations of conch salad, even though you all say blasphemy on anything but scotch and traditional conch salad.
Well, to be quite honest, during our apprenticeship program between 74 and 76, our instructor, Peter Martini, who is obviously still alive today, lived
Martini?
Yes. Right? Yeah, who lived today, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What he did was he allowed us to collect recipes from our grandparents and some of the chefs that we worked in a hotel with. And we actually wrote a Bahamian cuisine book.
It's called The Taste of the Bahamas.
Yes. Taste of the Bahamas.
See, because I make peas and rice and stew conch burritos. Right? I do all kind of things. But in this conversation right here, I realized that I ain't never infused thyme, cooking thyme, and broadleaf thyme, and rosemary, and oregano in the fresh pasta dough to roll out my fresh pasta. Good morning, caller. You got a recipe for us we need to know?
No, Aaron, I don't have the recipe. Sorry to call back tonight, but I had to. This is very great to do subsequent shows like this, man.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
My thing is, right, I'll ask these gentlemen who are in the studio, right? I have a challenge. When a tourist asks me, where can I find some good Bahamian food? I can think off the bat of all kind of other type of food, right? But ask yourself, where can we find some good native Bahamian food? And when you look at fish fry, let's look at fish fry. Fish fry was supposed to have been strictly Bahamian. Strictly Bahamian. That's right. There'll be no knocking, no thing. Just the Bahamas here, and one time ago, we used to be number one.
Yes.
But what do you all think about that concept of the other fish fry? I mean, you can get griot, you can get this, you can get that. And I have a thing I post on my Facebook page. I said, not because it looked like Bahamian food, it is Bahamian food. Where are we going wrong in terms of that fish fry? That's supposed to be an ideal spot. Look at Junkanoo Beach. I don't know what these people think. I don't know whether or not I'm just being too critical. But when I look out there, as I drink that site, that ain't a destination of choice where Bahamians, where tourists will gravitate to get out there. Man, what's going on? What you all take on fish fry and Junkanoo Beach?
I think it goes back to regulation. You know, the government should regulate something. If they said something, it would be authentically Bahamian. They should regulate it, make sure that they are Bahamians who are actually cooking, who are running it, and you get that completely Bahamian experience. I remember sorry?
I think the phone hung up and there was a message from the phone.
Yes, I think, you know, it goes back to regulation. The government should regulate it whereby Bahamians, it is serving Bahamian food and it is actually cooked by Bahamians. It goes back to regulation. And
it meets the fond de cuisine criteria because I eat plenty Bahamian food cooked by Bahamians that didn't taste like the traditional food I taste. And then, so where is the place that I could go? I need to go online and I need to check. My grandchild says she's cooking me dinner and I need to check and make sure because this don't taste like what I used to. Basic recipe for fish, right?
Yes.
I thought it was you got to burn the flour. And I say I can never make stew fish because I don't know how to burn the flour properly. Then my good morning aunt Audrey DeVoe made us a pot of stew fish, no flour. She used okra to thicken the stew fish, and it was excellent. Where do we go, the repository? Where's the place? And I look at this list. I know this is a Bahamian recipe. This is, and it's proper.
Well, when someone asks me that question, I have to cook it myself. That's the only guarantee I can give them, to be quite honest.
Okay.
Then I will ask you. Also, I need to know how to contact you all, right, for the listening audience to be participate in the number of events, because I didn't think we asked that earlier on the show. But is there a need where only Bahamian cuisine is served? Is there a need for that? Or we could have a fusion into, well, it mix, Bahamian and whoever else.
There's definitely a need for that. You know, you have a lot of tourists come to our country. They want to experience our culture, and our cuisine is a part of it. And they want to experience the indigenous Bahamian, taste the Bahamian, you know. And so definitely there is a need to have such place here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I also teach us culinary privately, on many occasions, tourists will come to Paradise Island, and because they've seen my courses online, they would call me.
Hold on, Ike. So as a part of my experience as a tourist, whether in the hotel or in a private short-term rental, I could have a chef of the caliber of Chef Misik come to my location and teach me a couple of Bahamian recipes?
Yes, either that or you can actually come to my location. Either item. I've done it on many occasions.
Continue.
Yes, many occasions, you know, guests would contact me by either saw me on Facebook or through the internet, mm-hmm. and they would call me and ask me, you know, would I come and teach a group of them how to cook kung chowder, how to do steam lobster, steam fish, whatever.
Like a real-life example, right? Mm-hmm. Sandals is closing temporarily for renovations in Exuma.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I imagine that a number of the charter, like people who come in on their personal boat, yeah. people who come on island, would take advantage of Sandals for a culinary experience.
Yes.
You know, we got one night of the trip, two nights we're going to go to Sandals. The temporary closure, does that create that should create a space now for chefs like yourself, Chef Misik, private yes. chefs, who, if they can sustain themselves on island, can make themselves available for charter guests and other guests to provide this culinary experience mm-hmm.
yes.
In country.
Well, to be quite honest, I'm happy that you mentioned that. You know, many of the chefs, the hundreds of apprentices and chefs that I've been able to teach and mentor over the years, you know, from time to time I run into them in the food store and, you know, I ask them how they're doing, and I'm quite happy that they're doing very well, and they're able to work for themselves. They work on private homes, they work on yacht, and, you know, and many times they say, you know, Chef Mitchell, thank you, and that gives me more gratifying than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Dear husbands and wives, if you're looking for something special to do for each other, purchase this experience, teach yourselves how to cook something nice, do it as a family if you want, make it a more special, romantic without the children if you need. That's wonderful. Mr. Nuri, I want to ask them about tradition. The texts here say, what is tropical salad? I don't understand it. Are there no-goes? Are there things that you just cannot do in Bahamian culinary practice? I think they are. First of all, don't call it Johnny Bread. I don't know why you all call it Johnny Bread.
No.
Don't call it Johnny Bread.
Johnny Bread... if you look at the, it's a heavy type bread, lasted a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And over the years, it's evolved to becoming more richer. We're adding more butter, more yes. Stuff to it. And then it becomes more lighter and more like mm-hmm. a cake. So that's not the traditional Johnny Bread.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely. Okay, here's another thing. Example. More and more sushi chefs popping up.
Yes.
I think it's a good idea because we got the third largest archipelago in the region, right?
Yes.
Good stuff. They've tried to Bahamianize it. I love it. Some chefs have added conch in various ways to the sushi palette.
Yes.
Some have added plantain. Big, fat, overripe, juicy plantain. I say that's a no-go.
No.
I say nip. It cannot be allowed in our Bahamian palette. However, we have a thing called a hog banana.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That you could fry like plantain.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you pick it at just the right time, it's sweet and it's tangy.
Yeah. Right.
And if you mandolin it thin and crispy fry it, I think it's the perfect addition to infuse a Bahamian element or even a wider Caribbean mm-hmm. element into sushi. Mm-hmm. Can I say that? Am I allowed to say that? Do the rules allow me to say no overripe plantain could go in a sushi, but a different style plantain could go in a sushi?
No, there's no rules. There's no rules. Chefs in the past, particularly the young ones, they are very creative, yes. and they've done tremendous job in taking local products and infusing it. And I've seen the Kanap sorbet. I've seen yes. Sea grapes sauce. I've seen tamarind glaze. And, you yes. know, so they're very creative and using their local product to make it interesting, you know? Yeah.
So there's no fear that the new age chef, the new chef, right? I call you a senior chef, right?
Right.
Are losing their bohemian touch or their vision for the next generation. So, well, this is what we're doing. This will be our mark that we're leaving on the Bahamas. Because you all already left your mark. But I'm talking about this new generation. Is there any fear of they're not leaving their mark?
There's no fear, but I think what happened is they tend to more venture into like the sushi world, like, you know, Aaron mentioned. Eh? I believe that if you have a cuisine like a Bahamian cuisine, I think they should actually develop that and basically try to push that, you know, international.
As opposed to focusing on infusing Bahamian flavors in global food, focus on bringing Bahamian flavors to the global palate.
But not forgetting the tradition taste.
Yes.
All right. So just in that vein, right? Just recently, as recent as yesterday, I got to say good morning to Mr. Claude Montpriere, right? I walked past his car and it'd say fruit juices and bush medicines. I had to stop and see what he had in his car. Mm-hmm. I gave him a bag of sea grape. I tell him, you make some sea grape lemonade. He gave me a bottle of carrot juice. Now, I don't like fruit and vegetables together in my mouth at the same time.
Right.
I bougie. Hannah Hasty Tyne, something to do with us. This carrot juice was delightful. I mean, he strained out all the pulp. It almost tasted like a lemonade, but I know it wasn't a lemonade. Right. And I was just, and so I wanted to say good morning to Claude because that juice was fantastic. I never like carrot juice. Mm-hmm. I almost drank the whole bottle, right? Just an example of sort of it, changing it, but not making it something different. Mm. Yeah.
I want to mention the duty of care of chefs in the culinary world, right? In Canada, United States, you see there are a number of Bahamian restaurants popping up. Something for us to be proud of. You see the Big Bahamas on it, right? Yes. And I want to know what duty of care do, again, this new age chefs, Bahamian chefs, have in terms of developing our Bahamian presence? Like Jamaica, once upon a time, you'd be able to come here to learn culinary.
Right.
Right. But their culinary now has infiltrated the entire Caribbean.
Right.
We have a permanently structured Bahamian Jamaican restaurants here.
Yes.
And in all over the Caribbean, they have Jamaica. What can we do to get that? To say, well, we have Bahamian restaurants peppered throughout the Caribbean, that Bahamian flair. It never could be necessarily Bahamian food, but the flair of it. The pigeon peas and rice, right? Not that kidney bean thing, right?
Well, I think the same young chefs who would work overseas, they need obviously to take the Bahamian cuisine wherever they go globally. I just recently came from Atlanta, and that pack of Bahamians and also Atlanteans, you know, enjoy the Bahamian cuisine, you know. So if the chefs them would concentrate on what we have here, and they would take it to the rest of the world, you know, we can grow just like the Jamaican jerks.
We see the example, remember, Vocab, Bahamian entertainer and now bodybuilder, right? Mm. He spoofed a Keith Lee review of a Bahamian restaurant in Canada. Right. And he spoofed it because the review is one of the best reviews that Keith Lee, he called himself amateur food reviewer, one of the best reviews he's ever given. And when you see Europeans, people living in the global north.
Yes.
They give him a whole fried snapper. And he look at that fish.
With the head.
With the head. He look at the fish and I said, I never get no fish like this before.
Right.
And he bite the fish and I think he got a little piece of bone and he's like, that bone would taste so good, right? Like he couldn't stop eating because the fish did taste so good. But so there are some chefs that are doing it, right?
Yes.
There are some chefs that are taking it abroad and representing it very well.
Yes.
I got to say a shout out to you guys. Hopefully that she can call in a good morning and shout out from Mrs. Kim Bodie.
Okay.
Wife of Mr. Bodie, the baker.
Yes.
We call DeVito.
Yes.
Bagon. Yes. The coconut tart man who make the footlong. Pardon?
You work with me as well.
There you go. I figured that's why she calling in. Bagon make the footlong coconut tart.
Yes.
Like he I'm not sure if he's the originator of that technique, but that changed the shape of coconut tart, Mr. Nuri. Because here's why. Three people could share a foot-long coconut tart.
Yes.
Little pie tart, no. One slice of tart, one square tart, no. We can't share this. Yeah. Foot-long, we could share.
Yes.
I want to talk about people who are being recognized for the 50th year celebration, right? Mm. You call people like Sandy Sands, right? Mm. Say they gone through the program and got sent abroad. You call people like George Myers, who are teachers or allowed the programs to go through. Will y'all be recognizing anybody, even people who were amongst your class members who have made it big, senior executives who graduated from the program? Anyone will be recognized or names I should know that you want to shout out right now?
Well, next year we've actually planned a ball or a banquet, and we have planned to honor some Britons posthumously, Britons in the some of the president of Sir Clement Maydard, J. Bryce Fronten, David Knowles, who was the first president of the Bamasota Training College, and they was also part of the college council, and also Tommy Robinson. They put some of the, along with a number of industry presidents who are still around today.
All right. Was Tommy Robinson a chef?
Vice president of
food and beverage.
Was he ever in the kitchen? Because his daughter ran a whole restaurant. She runs a catering company now, and I mean, she made food, man. Like, she trained under y'all.
Well, Tommy was my good friend and mentor when he had the store at Pilot Island. You know, so I don't know, something may have rubbed off, you know, by him being my friend. You know?
Possibly. And I have a text there that says, the weird thing is Johnny Cake, Hot Cross Buns, and Guava Duff now all taste the same atop. Should I call the police? Can I? Yes. Do you all have enforcers?
Yes. Yes.
How? Because I am agreeing, right? Like, yes. You could see in some of these spaces that people are, they're cheating.
Yes, they are.
Right? And it's not bad intention, right? Like, they're just trying to make something work. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But they're cheating, again, in terms of the Johnny Cake, the Hot Cross Bun, the Guava Duff, right? Yes. Can we, I'm ready to legislate. I'm ready to create a law that says Guava Duff have to be made in a pillowcase. And so no VAT on pillowcase, right? Like, at a national level.
Right.
And how do we prevent this? And can we prevent it? As experts in the space with your sort of access to international kitchens, can we police our national palate in that way?
I think persons need to be trained. You know, what is an insult to me most Easter, whenever you look at these hot cross bun, and they have this big icing pipe cross on the bun, you know? That'll be, in fact, I've never bought one of them. I would prefer to make it myself because, you know, the cross is normally baked into the hot cross bun.
Ah.
You know? That's
put the suffering in the bun and all. Yeah.
Yes, and it's obviously baked into the bun.
Okay.
You know, out in a traditional cross. But also, there's a way that you actually handle flour in general. You know, that's basically what we call a sweet dough or enriched dough that has a lot of fruits. It have contained milk, butter, etc. You know, so normally there's basically like what we call like a double right, and then you have to add the raisins and also the fruit them to the end.
Just quickly, Mr. Nuri, I'm really enjoying your interrogation. Absolutely. I won't talk foolishness. Flour,
yes.
Sweet dough, Bahamian
yes.
bread. This is of national importance. We don't make non-sweet bread. All the bread we make sweet. The rolls, the everything is sweet. But I got to go to the high-end store to get me a sandwich bread like a ciabatta or a focaccia. I used to make sandwich on focaccia. Why hasn't our culinary space expanded in that way? Like, why aren't we making more types of bread? We eat plenty sandwich. We eat pear and bread and slam bam and bread and tuna and bread.
Well, you know, I am from a very large family, 13. And my mother had a full-time job. The house was a full-time job. And do you know, at a tender age, I think I was around about 10. When she makes bread, and she used to make two types, she used to make the loaf ones, 12 to 13 pans of that. Mm-hmm. And there is another one that has sort of a corn base, mm-hmm. and she used to dump...
Into the mic, yeah.
She used to dump everything into the pan, and I would get up onto the chair in the kitchen, and I would be mixing and mixing and mixing, mixing. And do you know, I never knew what she was preparing me for. But her breads used to be, they'll never be sweet. Never sweet, especially corn-based bread, you know. One time ago, when we didn't have the oven in the kitchen, this was in the early 60s, she had the Dutch oven.
Yeah.
And in the back of the yard, the Dutch oven and over charcoaled, you know. And that was experience.
Wow.
We will take a short break now. We are celebrating 50 years. 50 years of Bahamas Hotel Training College.
Yep.
Right? And the big things they have done and who all have passed through, graduated, and what they're doing now inside the Bahamas. We have some events that's happening on, but we'll talk about
the events. Starting on the 8th of September with the church service.
Yes. Yeah. But we're going to take this brief break. We're going to come back to remind members about that. And so let's take this break right now.
Absolutely. You are tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't change that dial.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When you jump in your Japanese import and you turn the radio on, all you hear is... For the month of September, the HitSpot will install a band extender in your Japanese import for the discounted rate of only $79.99, VAT included. Get your band expander installed today at the HitSpot and listen to
Star 106.5.
Plus, get fresh news and smart talk on
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri. I'm joined by Aaron Green. We are celebrating. We are help celebrating with the Hotel Training College, who is celebrating 50 years. I mean, I know they have a Malaga made it to University of Bahamas, but they are reminiscing about a bygone era where the chefs were chefs and the managers was managers. Mm-hmm. Right?
And food was food.
Yeah. And then we're now reminiscing about Bahamian food and a Bahamian experience and what is the way forward in Bahamian cuisine. But before we continue, Aaron, read that thing for me, please.
All right, we got a couple of live reads here. It's the final week to help Guardian Radio and AML raise funds for much needed snacks in our second annual Back to School Snackathon. You can help us surpass last year's total by making a donation at the register of All Solomon's, Fresh Markets, and Cost-Right locations in both Nassau and Freeport. Join your Guardian Radio 96.9 at Fresh Market Harbor Bay from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. this Thursday for our live Snackathon broadcast. Meet your Guardian Radio 96.9 personalities and assist us in beating last year's total of funds raised in our Snackathon.
When they say Guardian Radio personalities, does that mean us?
That's you.
That's me?
Yeah.
You coming with me?
I mean, I come and you buy in the snacks?
I think it's...
I will eat them if you buy them.
Free things when we go there, though.
I don't know about that. So I mean, they're warm, they're welcoming, right? It's always a wonderful time. But they're a food store. I don't know if... Oh, wait, you're right. They have savory vegetable snacks.
I just remember eating.
And dips. And then we had fruit... snacks, cut up fruit, and dips for the fruit snacks, and so then
tomorrow we will be live
at Harbor Bay Harbor Fresh Bay. Market, 10 to 12,
and hopefully they give us free stuff again.
I mean, you secure the things, and I will secure the eaten part.
Yes.
Yeah,
you. We have another live report.
Absolutely. I mean, do you have a Japanese import vehicle, and are you no longer able to listen to radio news, talk, and music content on Guardian Radio? The Hitspot is offering a $79.99 special, VAT included. It includes band extender equipment and installation during the month of September. And if you mention this ad, you get a discounted rate. So you pay even less than $79.99.
Nice.
Absolutely. Nice. Get it sorted.
And that's the one on Soldier Road, right?
Soldier Road North, right at the Village Road, Wolf Road, Bernard Road, Soldier Road intersection.
So let's go back to Chef Misek so he can remind me how to contact him, because he didn't give me no phone numbers yet or no social media page on how do I contact you all in terms of participating. I'm a graduate of the You All. I want to join the number, but I don't know how to contact you. Say, give me some details.
Yeah, my phone number is 557-2619. My home number, 325-4792. Chef Johnson.
My number is 815-0850.
And please join us this coming Sunday morning at 10:30 at Bible Truth Ministries, and that's off Cowpen Road.
Martin Close.
Mm-hmm.
So what time do you cook dinner? I mean, as a chef, what time do you traditionally cook dinner since you give us the home number?
Well, to be quite honest, I cook a day for the next day.
So you prep all your food a day ahead?
I prep today, I cook tomorrow, and tomorrow will be for Thursday and Friday, basically.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I know you thought I was talking foolishness when I started asking the question.
He didn't say you straight from long time. I'm not sure why I keep on begging for food. No, he said, Aaron, you straight.
It's that's culture. That's food culture. That's culinary culture.
Mm-hmm.
I prep, I do my sous work.
Yes.
Today.
That's what we call the mise en place.
Right, mise en place.
Oh, mise en place.
Everything in place.
Everything in place.
Yes, that's right.
You speak vous français?
You parle for me. You said that 3 seconds. Cook today for tomorrow.
Yes, preparation. Yes.
Right? And I just, it opens up that, like, everybody can elevate their culinary practice. Everybody could become a better cook. People say, oh, I can't cook. My Grammy give that skill to my uncle, not to my mommy and me. I can't cook. Sometimes it's just about in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. The rule in the kitchen is look and learn. Look and learn. Mm-hmm. That's rule number one. Kitchen. Rule number two is you have to be professional and respect everybody. In fact, the guy who washes the pot is your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pot isn't clean.
You can't
do your work.
One
exactly.
of the most important person there.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. Mise en place, everything in its place. That's the sous work, the sous chef's work. Fond de cuisine.
Yes.
Is that just like global, or does the Bahamas have its own? Can we say we have our own?
Well, fond de cuisine as relates to the Bahamas, yes. If you would think about when you're making stews.
Right.
Okay.
Like in Europe, it's celery, carrots, and onion is your base herbage, right? Yes.
Mirepoix.
Yes. Right. Yeah. What's the mirepoix for the Bahamas? Yeah.
The mirepoix for an example, peas and rice. Yeah. You know, you got your onions and your celery, all right, and your
thyme.
Okay.
That's the basic right there. Yes.
All right. What's the standard pea for Bahamian peas? Is it pigeon pea green or dry?
Dry if you can get it.
Right.
Yeah? Or fresh, also, because you go to the tree, you pick the peas. Preferably fresh if you can get it. But if not, then dry. Because when you boil it, then obviously you get the stalk as well from it that gives it the flavor.
Right.
So the fresh is great.
Yes.
But dry adds an added element
right.
of
yes.
flavor.
Right. Right. Yes.
Right. And you can soak it. You can soak it overnight to give it that, mm-hmm. so it can cook faster, and also you extract some flavor with that you're going to use in the peas and rice itself.
All right. So with your 50 years of participation in a formal training space, what are the key dishes to signify the Bahamas? If tourists are coming here, you're saying to somebody who says, hey, look, I'm trying to build a tourism experience through food. I want to be accurate. What are the key Bahamian dishes that say you in the Bahamas now?
I think, first of all, conch chowder.
Conch chowder?
Yeah, definitely conch chowder.
Okay.
An appetizer. And also you have to go to steamed lobster, basically mint lobster.
Okay.
You know, you have to start from that. And then, well, you know, everybody do peas and rice.
Okay.
Know, but they come after. But first of all, you have to start with the conch chowder, the peas and rice, and then, you know, take it from there.
Okay. When you said that, I thought, conch chowder? And then I thought, hold on, Aaron, you being biased. How has European Bahamian culinary practices been incorporated into the broader national culinary product, or into that hotel training space? And is conch chowder an element of a European Bahamian palate or practice?
Conch chowder would have taken from a soup that they have, which is normally the clam chowder.
Okay.
Okay, right. But basically we use this conch, and then it obviously have a more richer consistency. Right? But European also make lobster bisque, right? And they also make like crab bisque.
Uh-huh.
So we turn them basically into like a crab soup, where we would add the cassava, the sweet potato, the plenty onion, yam, etc.,
okay.
And also some salt beef.
All right, so what are the fundamental differences between a conch chowder and stew conch?
Well, conch chowder, basically the conch and the vegetables are diced.
Okay.
They're basically diced, right? And you actually started by sweating off the conch.
Okay.
Right? With the stew conch, you actually more or less cut the herbs into more or less strip or julienne.
Of course, you have to tenderize it. Have to be tenderized.
The conch has to be tenderized.
Yes.
Pounded to break up the connective tissues to help add tenderness to it. And then, of course, you are either you, what they call scald, we call it blanch.
Yes.
All right. And then, of course, you have to make your roux. All right. Your roux, we're cooking the flour and the fat together to get that color.
And the fat together. So it's not just burning, browning the flour.
No.
It's an element of fat added as well.
Yeah.
Now, what type of fat? Lard or coconut oil? Like, is there a no-no?
Tradition, we use lard.
Traditionally.
Right. You know, you use lard, you know.
Yeah. With your flour to get the roux.
Okay,
For flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
All right. Now, the difference between conch chowder and stew conch. And I always thought it was the celery, right? Because in the conch chowder, I could taste the celery and the element that it brings, you know, versus in the stew conch. These are important things to know.
And conch chowder, you know, the color, you have a sort of a tomato base, which gives it a sort of red color, whereas your stew conch, you develop that brownness from your roux, you know, the flour and the fat cooked together.
Who invented stew boil? Is that like an official thing? Did y'all commemorate that at the Hotel Training College in the culinary space?
I think that was an accident.
Yeah, first time I heard that, it's when I went for breakfast in Freeport, you know, but maybe like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and my brother said, you know, why don't try the stew boil? I said, what? You know? I heard that in Freeport first, you know?
It's an interesting, particularly for the tourists who come here and they say, it's stew boil. Mm-hmm. You're talking about two different methods of cooking combined.
I know how I had it the first time.
My cousin Gamal eats that. And I said, what you mean? Is it stew fish or is boiled fish? Can't be both.
Here's what happens. You come late.
Right.
You tell your mommy to save you something.
Right.
And they save you nothing.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of stew and a little bit of boiled fish left.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And you make it. That's how I had my first one.
Okay. Stew
All right. Okay, gentlemen. We are coming towards the end of the hour for Bahamians in general.
Yes.
As representatives from this space.
Yes.
Tell the country why it's so important for us as the general public to support this culinary space, the academic space, preparation of human resources for the country.
you know, tourism, it's our largest industry. Moving forward to the future, we're going to need highly skilled people, highly skilled chefs and general manager. So it's important to have to get some formal training, good training, and also to put a dent in the importation of these foreign chefs and general managers.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When you have Bahamians who are running these establishments, the kitchens, the hotel, you can actually get more Bahamian product into that establishment. You can Bahamianize the product as well. And what it does is it puts money back into the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you utilize Bahamian products, and the persons who actually sell the product, obviously, in turn, they can actually earn benefit more.
Absolutely.
And the tourism can actually get the indigenous experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know Mr. Nuri didn't think I was going to ask this question. Mr. Nuri, he liked Jamaican food. Mm. I like Jamaican food, too. I love it. I love Jamaican food. In terms of preserving Bahamian food, can we create categories like a fusion and say to be recognized as Bahamian fusion food, like it has to be at a minimum of 70% Bahamian and 30% influence by other food, right? Like, and that's the standard for Bahamian fusion. And then there could be another category of fusion where you could just play around and fix it however you want. As a melting pot, as the gateway to the new world, as a tourism mecca, can we establish rules like that in this culinary space, in food culture?
I think so, you know.
All right.
I think so.
I enjoy this. I'm going to invite you back again soon.
I need you all to bring Chef Christopher Williams with you when you come again.
And bring back food. When you come, it brings
you know some
snacks. Bring some snacks, right? Mm-hmm. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much again, Aaron Green. Thank you very much, Chef Johnson, Chef Mizek.
And Bahamas Hotel Training College and all that you have produced.
Yes. And we'll come and join you in your celebrations.
Thank
right?
you very much.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Goodbye.